Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
This is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit. Joining me in the studio is Ember from Silver Bear Sundries. And on the phone, we've got Rob Carter from the Alaska Division of Agriculture Plant Materials Center. Our hot topic this morning is hemp and hemp production in Alaska, hemp legislation, all things hemp. And we're going to have a fun conversation to update folks about what we know, what we're hoping to find out soon, what's on the horizon, etc. But I love to start my show by asking folks a little about themselves, their connection to Alaska agriculture, and your connection to Alaska, how you got here. Rob, you've been on the show before, so you kind of know that gist. But so let's let you start so Ember can hear about you before she has to tell us about her.
Thanks, Amy. Good morning, Ember. As you said, my name is Rob Carter. I'm from Alaska. I grew up in Eagle River. Left the state to pursue an agricultural education, came back here and just always had an interest in plants, both landscape and trees and vegetable production and ornamentals, and that was really my interest. And then after coming back to Alaska, I for years worked for myself in the arboriculture industry, and then started to pursue more of the research side and the germplasm collection side, and took a position with the USDA Agricultural Research Service that was located here in Palmer, and that was a pretty awesome job. I mean, I had a ton of plant collections and stuff, and unfortunately, federal budget cuts led that to having that place be closed down and shuttered up, and they shut down our station and satellite station in Kodiak and Fairbanks, and the plant collections, you know, left with them. And I was really lucky at that time that when I was looking for other positions and careers in agriculture in Alaska, and the research really in getting, I guess, plant material out to producers and growers through distribution and sales was really kind of a hot topic for me to try to see if we could promote ag industry in Alaska by diversifying our crops that we do grow, kind of trying to bring things to the table that other people don't think about, or they're just kind of non-traditional, you know, no spuds, no carrots. I mean, we have those, we had them. And so lucky enough to find an opportunity to get a position at the Plant Materials Center under the Division of Ag, which is under the Department of Natural Resources,
right,
for the state. And been here since late 2011. I've had a bunch of positions here, worked as the seed cleaner and conditioner lead for the program, worked on a bunch of grant-funded projects diversifying some rural village economies by seed production, worked through our horticulture program, and then eventually the longtime manager that was here at the facility retired. And when he did, I had the opportunity to apply for that position and took over the management position here.
Yeah.
And I think the PMC has a lot to offer for everybody.
Yeah, growers, producers, everybody.
Yeah, growers,
gardeners.
Producers. Yeah, I mean, and that's the one thing that was my my mission here was to kind of look beyond what we had been doing and looking at the commercial stuff that we did. You know, focused on a lot of reclamation and revegetation, our native plant production. But after I got here, we kind of instituted the horticulture program and a few other things. And I think that's really diversified what we do and the support that we give to Alaska seed industry and potato industry, general horticulturalist gardeners. And now, of course, with the passage of SB 6 and the governor signing that, next on the docket will be industrial hemp.
A whole new industry. And yeah. Rob, it's that extensive knowledge of yours that makes you such a great resource and one of the reasons that I love to have you on the show. And one of the reasons when somebody calls me with a horticulture or agronomic question of any sort, and I kind of apologize and say, I really don't know a lot about this stuff, but I know who you can call. Rob Carter out of the Plant Materials Center. But anyways, moving on, I'm joining me also, Rob and I on the call is Ember from Silver Bear Sundries. And Ember, I was doing a little bit of homework this morning about your company and what you guys do, but tell us all about your connection to agriculture and how you got to Alaska, etc.
Definitely. Well, I have been here in Alaska for 21 years now.
Okay.
I don't have quite the exciting story that Rob has, but my story really begins when I was young and just always so fascinated with plants and what they could do and just the medicinal side.
Yeah.
up here in Alaska, I was just so intrigued with the native culture and how they used the plants as food, you know, and it wasn't just something special like we might use a poultice or something. It was in their everyday life, and I was just completely inspired by that.
Yeah.
And raised my kids when they were little, basically out in the garden and out in the woods, harvesting and learning the plants and their purposes. And then 10 years ago, I started in earnest our business, Silver Bear Sundries, and it quickly went from a hobby, like in 1 month, to a full-time business, which was just amazing. And I like to say that I make my products for those people who can't. You know, there's wonderful people out there making just amazing medicinal medicines and such, but, you know, I also get to do that, and it started by making it for my family. Okay. My husband's a longshoreman in Whittier, and he needed something to heal his hands and reduce inflammation, and that started me on the path of Devil's Club and harvesting Devil's Club, harvesting cottonwood, yarrow, looking for, you know, wild peppermints, and just starting down this whole path of finding what was right outside my front door and believing in whole plant medicine, infusing in oils, just, you know, traditional methods that have been used forever. My products, you could eat most all of them as well as use them topically.
Awesome.
And it's just, it's been an honor to be able to just really just immerse myself in just the woods. I feel very fortunate that that's my job, having to harvest rose petals and elder, and of course Devil's Club is probably the heart of our business is Devil's Club, which so many people stay away from. And we started using hemp seed oil in our products just because it's such an amazing oil for your skin. And when we first started 10 years ago, we could only get it from Canada.
Right.
And with my business, I'm always striving to just make the best products possible. And so we always are evolving with what, you know, I've new things that are discovered, new purposes and such. And so with the hemp seed oil, I was, you know, fine using it from Canada because that's all that I had. But then as soon as Colorado started growing hemp and couldn't quite soon, you know, it had to all be legal. That was our whole idea, I guess I should say, with Denali Hemp Company, which started 4 years ago. And we decided to just really focus on hemp since it had just, cannabis had just become recreational legal in Alaska. And we wanted to just promote the benefits of the plant itself, that it's not all THC, it's not all CBD, that it is a plant that can be used just as we use all of our other herbs and roots. And so it was education, it was a promotion, it was a way to introduce my customers who were already comfortable with the products that we make and had been using hemp seed oil, you know, in their products, but to focus more on it and keep everything as legal as possible. I never wanted my customers to ever feel like they couldn't use anything that I made.
Sure.
And so that's been a really very interesting path to be taking in the whole cannabis world, because so many people still try to say that hemp is not cannabis, but indeed it is cannabis sativa L. And so that has been our platform, I guess you should say, that hemp is cannabis and that it can just be used just as you would grow any other crop, and that it, you know, doesn't have to be only focused on two of the cannabinoids that are found in the plant.
It's such a fascinating topic, and there's so much to learn and so much to know about it. So I'm excited to have you both on the show. Just a quick reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio, and I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and our topic today is hemp and kind of an update on the industry, the legislation, what's happening. I am Amy Pettit, and joining me is Rob Carter from the Plant Materials Center here in Palmer, and Ember from Silver Bear Sundries and Denali Hemp Company, we should say, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, very good. So, I'm thinking this through and how there's so much to cover, and we won't ever be able to cover it all in our short show time. But Rob, maybe we should start, or I guess I'll just remind folks that it's about a year ago that we had a show before the legislation passed with Jack Bennett, who is a huge promoter of the industry and the products and the possibilities with hemp. Remind folks that that show is still archived on our website at the radio station and at Farmland Trust. You can always go back and listen to that and hear about where we were about a year ago. But now we're in this new territory where hemp production is legal in Alaska. Is it safe to say that, Rob? Can people start growing hemp?
Yes, tell us. That's the question.
Where are we at? How do they get hemp seeds? What's next, Rob?
Oh, the fun questions. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So the unique part about, yes, we've been at this for a long time. Well, and I will say it's not just the weeds. There's, this is precursor to this last session, which actually started last spring and then finished up this spring.
Yeah.
There was an industrial hemp bill by Senator Ellis that was there that never made it through. And then Senator Shelley Hughes picked up and came up with SB6.
Yep.
And then worked that through, and we got really lucky. So everybody assumed that once the legislation had been passed by both the House and the Senate, that everything was legal and we were good to go.
Yeah. And the governor signed the bill. Now let's grow some plants.
And the wording, right? The wording said as soon as it was signed.
So the unique part is that it was there and the legislation passed. And, of course, really no legislation is law until after the governor has approved or not approved of that legislation and signed it, and which he did. Governor Walker signed that, I believe it.
Rob, we're losing you just a little bit. I don't know if you're moving around, but if we're starting to lose the connection with you a little bit.
Oh, sorry. I will make sure that I
stand still.
I'm trying to stay in a place here that I have it and out of the wind.
So. Yeah, we can hear you good now.
So the unique part about that is it did have an effective date to that legislation. I think that's where the confusing part for the people that were, and agencies actually, that were interested in when industrial hemp was going to be legal to be acquired and products to be sold. Well, that effective date did one thing, and that one thing allowed us as a state agency, DNR, through DNR, the Division of Ag and Plant Materials Center, to start working on the process. And so the law is the law, but they're more general. There's specifics in them. They have to be interpreted in rules or regulations. And so that effective date, that immediate effective date, allowed us to start the regulation process immediately.
Right, which anyone who's ever worked for the state or the federal government or even been involved knows that regulation drafting is not simple or just something you pull off the shelf and push a button on and it's done. So
No, it's not. You're right, Amy. And that's And with this, with something such as industrial hemp, which is so unique,
right,
because it's technically, we'll say technically illegal on the federal side, we were just lucky enough that inside the 2014 Farm Bill in Section 706, there was some guidance provided that said a state department of ag or the person in control of agriculture, or if they couldn't do it, their state university, agricultural university, could implement, if law in the state allowed, an industrial hemp pilot program for the research of the cultivation, production, and marketing of industrial hemp. Really a feasibility study, I would say, more than anything, to simplify it. And so that is where we have the federal legalities that have been, I guess, set aside. So federally, technically, hemp is legal to grow only if and when a state has, on law, an industrial hemp pilot program.
Okay.
There's many other states that have had them before us. There's states that are going through the legislation process.
Yep.
And a ton of them that are out there that do have them. There's a bunch of them that have had it for years now, that their regulations have been drafted and submitted and finalized and, of course, then updated because the things change. But the difficulty with the regulations with industrial hemp is that we have been provided, I will say, limited federal guidance. I mean, it's just a little amount in the Farm Bill. There's a little bit in the Ominous Spending and Act of 2016 that provide us that. And so we now have to make sure that what we're doing follows that guidance to keep it legal under that avenue. And the key for me is that I'm from here. I work with hundreds of commercial growers, farmers, gardeners every day, and these are professional affiliations, from there, but I consider these people friends.
Sure.
And the last thing that I want to do when we're, and a lot of them have interest in industrial hemp, small people have a half acre or a couple hundred square feet
or just a couple plants in their garden.
Yeah. And so the last thing I want to do is rush through a process that we don't build a secure program because of that quasi-legal issue on the federal level,
yeah,
that we make sure that we protect Alaska's agriculturalists.
Sure. You don't want to get anybody in trouble, and we understand that. So
yeah, and so I think that's where those regulations are tough. So currently, no, until the regulations have been drafted. They've been, of course, submitted out for public comment, and then they've been probably redrafted again and submitted again for public comment, and those are on the books. Industrial hemp is not legal to grow or sell in the state of Alaska as a raw product. As you can see, though, there are people that that have industrial hemp as seed, like hemp seed. You see that the store is for oatmeal and for this and for that. Well, those are non-viable seeds. And so to ship viable seeds, one would be breaking the law, both federally and in state. And so unless it was heat treated or broken or crushed or cracked, that's why you can see them on the store at your local supermarket and your natural health food store. Hemp seed oil, which is different than extracted oil from hemp, is legal to be sold because it doesn't contain a lot of the things that the federal government dislikes.
Is concerned.
And so as of right now, we cannot grow industrial hemp. And when we do get the regulations, the only legal avenue for an individual to grow industrial hemp in Alaska will be a registrant of our pilot program.
Okay. So let's timeline this out a little bit, Rob. Where are we in the regulation process? Are we, is draft one being reviewed somewhere and have a potential date for public release?
So I really don't like to set hard dates with regulations because they're very difficult. There's a lot of interpretation does. I am by all means a plant person through and through, and I definitely did not go to law school. Though that does provide a challenge, the legal language to make sure that, you know, something that you're doing isn't affecting someone else or another person, another agency, all of that has to be taken into consideration. So I will say the biggest step for the state of Alaska was to get the contact between all agencies that could be affected by industrial hemp. And we've done that. The Department of Law has a working group going on internally from all the agencies that are going to be or could be affected by industrial hemp.
Sure.
We did just recently get kind of an FAQs done. We got it up on our website. We have an industrial hemp webpage.
Okay.
We've got an official industrial hemp state email address. So anybody that just doesn't have to send me emails more, they can send it to industrialhemp@alaska.gov.
Okay, and so good. These are all important steps.
Yeah, you would think that this is, people say, well, it's just simple as anything, just move on.
No.
And it's like, we want to build a secure program so people like Ember that want to invest in their business or their lifestyle or their wellness by utilizing industrial hemp. So we want to make sure it's secure. And so we've got all that stuff in place. And then, so to then go back to the regulations, which what we're waiting for is, or what we're in the process of working on is, the next step is to open an official file with the Department of Law.
Okay.
Everything has to go through them.
Yep.
Which will be done this week.
Oh, good.
So we can officially do that. And then to second to that, there's two ways to do regulations. One, you can go out and you can do a ton of scoping and a ton of public meeting, try to get all the constituents that may or may not be affected by a program or a regulation, try to get their input, then draft regulations, and then put them out.
Yeah.
And I think that's good. I think that it's great to have public input, but I also believe that this is a time-sensitive program. To get seed in the state, you have to have a DEA permit. It's going to take time to identify seed sources. Some are going to come internationally. Some are going to come from other states, maybe Canada. It's going to take time. So we need to get regulations drafted, get a foundation put out there for everyone that's interested to get out there and get their opinion. And I really tell everyone that I talk to, which is a significant amount of people, that when you see something that's open for public comment, put your input in.
Make public comments.
Make the time to contribute, because I'm going to draft regulations. I'm going to put them out there. And this is my professional view of how this program will work. But I can't judge or predict or forecast every difficulty, every microclimate, every person's production ideas, every person's post-harvest processing ideas,
sure,
to make sure that they're included or not in the regulations. And so your voice is your vote. And so when these things come out, and they will be widely publicized. They'll be on our website. They'll be on the state's online public notices.
Sure.
I'm creating a listserv. Everybody needs to contribute and read these so that when it comes to production or harvest or processing or isolation distances between other crops or indoor versus outdoor production, they may have a practice or a technique that I did not forecast.
Yeah.
And they may want that to be a participant utilizing those production practices. And if I don't understand them or I don't know them, I might not put them in there. So
yeah,
the key is comment,
yep,
so that we can get that information.
Yeah, that's a critical time, too, because typically in the process that sometimes there's two public comment periods, but sometimes there's only one. And so if you don't take the time to give your comments that first go round, you miss your chance. So encourage folks to, you know, pay attention, watch for that announcement, and then get their comments included. Just a quick reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit. Our topic today is hemp and the future of the industrial hemp industry in Alaska. On the phone, we've got Rob Carter from the Plant Materials Center, and joining me here in the studio is Ember from Denali Hemp Company and Silver Bear Sundry. So, Ember, I know you just have a million questions for Rob, and we don't even have that much time left for all of them. But what's the, with what Rob has told us so far in terms of the process and the public process, et cetera, what are you thinking? What's your biggest question for Rob?
Okay, so I'm going to have to edit my thoughts here. So when I got involved with the whole legislative process, that's when Senator Ellis had introduced the bill.
Yep.
And there was very few voices speaking up, you know, with any interest in growing hemp. And I realized, as Rob is saying, that your voice is your vote. And
yeah,
I felt it my duty to just do this. Just like I drove here today, you know, it's just there's certain things you just have to do. And I have been just encouraging people to speak up. Unfortunately, I do send many people to Rob because they contact me and I say, I do not know these things. Contact Rob. So I'm going to focus on the questions from people up in my area, from up in Talkeetna, because that is where my heart is. And probably the biggest question that I get is from people who just want to do home grows, and they're very concerned that they are going to just get swept under the carpet by, you know, big investors coming up and buying huge parcels of land and such. And I think that's probably the biggest concern that I hear from people is there going to be room for someone, you know, like myself, who just has a small acreage and wants to just grow a little bit, you know, to provide for my family, my animals, and my business. Some people, you know, they want to grow it for medicine. There's so many different uses.
Absolutely.
But the main question is, will there be room for the small property owner Alaskan, whether you know they want to do farming it or they just want to cultivate it?
Sure.
That's probably my biggest question, because you know we have some amazing hay acreages up in Talkeetna that the farmers are done haying. They don't, but they're interested in maybe hemp. You know, there's greenhouses that are sitting vacant that people would like to utilize. There's people ready to plow a little parcel, and they just they want to know if they will have a chance, if they're willing to pay any fees, if they're willing to follow regulations and give the coordinates of their properties. You know, that's my big question.
Yeah. So take it away, Rob.
So I think I appreciate the folks that you send, Ember. I really do. I know it's I will tell everybody, and a lot of people that may be listening to the show don't realize that when we started this adventure almost a year ago, and I was testifying to the legislator, hey, how many people have called you about industrial hemp? I told him, hey, you know, maybe 20, 25 people. I'd kept some simple notes just of interest. It wasn't until it passed both the House and the Senate and went to the governor's desk that the interest for some reason just blew up. I mean, it just blew up. I mean, 17, 20, 25 phone calls or emails a day with interest. And a lot of those people were small acreage farmers or greenhouse growers or I'll call them, you know, kind of farmstead, homestead individuals.
Sure.
But then there was the people that had 5,000 acres or 10,000 acres that grow hay and other forage crops. And you know, and so, you know, I get a lot of questions because there's been a lot of news out there about limited entry into the program and, you know, who and won't get left out, and that's a concern. And I completely understand that concern with some of the stuff that's been out there, and that transition from having limited people that we thought were going to want to be involved to having hundreds.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is kind of my motto for Alaska. If you really think about agriculture in general in Alaska, all agriculturalists, commercial and non-producers in this state, are small. And that's how we sustain a lot of our communities. That's how we generate revenue for a lot of our families. And I don't believe that it's in the best interest of this industry or the future of this industry to allow it to develop and to grow and for personal use as well as for commercial sales if we start limiting people based on the size of their farm or how many plants they want to grow. So I think that, you know, I can't supersede regulations and say this is the way it's going to be, but I think that the intent behind this is to experiment with industrial hemp, find out to grow better on an acre or 10,000. And we can't do that unless we have a lot of people with a lot of varying production methodologies and acreage sizes. And again, my core value, even here at the Plant Material Center, we work for a ton of people, and not only, and we provide services for growers that are not only 10,000 acres, but an eighth of an acre.
Right.
And I think that's what's driven the growth of this place, the industry itself I've seen grown, the diversification of our crops have seen grown. And so, no, Amber, I really do not forecast any way possible that the folks that that are interested in growing industrial hemp are not going to have an opportunity to do that just because they may be smaller. Right. I will supersede that and say, to be legal and to protect yourself and the rest of the industry, because that's what we're building, you will have to be a registrant of the program. And, mm-hmm. you know, again, not superseding regulations, it'll probably be a multi-tiered registration process. There'll probably be, most likely, we believe there'll be multiple avenues for registration, either based on what you're doing or based on what size and production you're doing, because the one thing in the legislation is some of the fees that we get from the program have to help us implement this program and pay for it, cover its costs. And so why would anybody that's developing an industry hinder itself and its development by limiting the size or the interest of the people that want to be part of this program? Does that answer your question?
Yes. Well, you know, I knew that's probably how you were going to answer it. I'm so happy that you are the guy in charge at this point, and you do have the best interest of Alaskans at heart, and I thank you. And that definitely was an awesome answer, for
yeah.
sure.
So you wouldn't believe it, but our half an hour is up already. So I think the key takeaways here are, if you want to stay engaged and involved in the future of this industrial hemp industry in Alaska, write down the industrialhemp@alaska.gov email, send an email to that address, and connect with Rob at the Plant Materials Center. And I would also encourage folks to connect with Denali Hemp Company and Silver Bear Sundries, because Amber, it sounds like you're a huge advocate and definitely on
yes.
top of what's going on. So.
And I did start a little Facebook page, Agricultural Hemp in Alaska.
Perfect.
That started during the legislative process. There hasn't been too many updates just because we've been in this
Not
limbo.
A lot to say yet.
Yes,
yeah.
But we will update it today after
Perfect.
This wonderful conversation.
Perfect. Very
well,
good.
Wonderful.
Well,
hey, and Amy, just to follow up with that, get on our website, go to the Division of Ag, go to the Plant Material Center state website, look at it. You'll see an industrial hemp tab there on the left side. Click it open. It's actually got a copy of FAQs out there.
Perfect.
Right now, it's got the link to the email address.
Perfect.
And as we do updates, we will be updating that page. And eventually, that page will be the home to the registration for both production and cultivation and marketing activities. So that's there. Go
that's there.
Watch that.
Okay,
Send
Rob.
Thank
well,
you.
Thank you so much
Thanks,
for joining
Rob.
Me on Ag Matters, Rob and Ember. This was great. And we'll clearly have to do another show soon when we've got more information to share. Have a great morning. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.